Okay, let's pray first, because Amen. When you bring the word forth, you should always pray, I believe.
Amen.
Because you don't want to just say your thoughts, you want to say God's thoughts.
Yes.
Right? Because we all come from different walks of life, so we all have our own, sometimes, view on what is being said or not said. And getting to my notes first. Okay, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you and praise you for this opportunity to bring forth your word, Lord. And I just thank you. I plead the blood of Christ over myself and yes. everyone here, Lord. I thank you that I would just speak your words, not any opinions or anything else, but what you have to say, your heart would come out. And I thank you as the word goes forth today that we would be changed from glory to glory, Father. Continue moving forward to the prize that's set before us, Father. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So David asked me to preach a couple months ago, and I was like, no, I don't want to preach. And then I let it rumble and say, okay, yeah. Because usually when I'm preaching, there's something that's been rumbling around inside me. And it needs to come out. There's something there. So then a few weeks ago, I was at one of the women's Bible study, and I saw something. I go, oh, no, this is just myself. I only want to preach on this because it's me. And then the Lord gave me a dream. And because of that dream, because God speaks to me in dreams, I decided, okay, I need to preach about this. And then I saw a pastor speak on some of the things similar, and I go, okay, Lord's really telling me this is what I need to talk about. That's biblical. He says that, you know, in latter days, the young men and women will dream dreams, right? And that's
yes.
us. And I do dream, you know, God's given me different dreams, and they've always, you know, when they're godly dreams. Now, there are pizza dreams, so you can't count on those, but you can count on godly dreams. Pizza dreams just don't do it. Well, I couldn't decide what I want to call this sermon. It's in between living stones and the body of Christ. So I have a lot of scripture I wanted to go over. We're going to start out in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. So I was going back and forth, like I said, but it's mainly about being the body of Christ. But I like this part where it talks about we're living stones because it shows us that we're just like God. As I looked up, I have a Strong's Concordance here. I love the Strong's Concordance. I looked up the word here in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. It says, to whom, as unto living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. This is King James Version because you're in the concordance. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. The part that I wanted to do was he called Jesus a living stone. He also called us living stones. So I thought, okay, well, I want to look at that. So I looked up living stone for Jesus, and it says, a stone, literally, figuratively, a millstone, stumbling stone. I thought, okay, that's cool. So what are we? And you know what we are? We are the same thing. We are a stone, literally, figuratively, mill stumbling stone. So Jesus, we're a millstone. So Jesus is a stumbling stone for other people. Guess what that means? You're going to be a stumbling stone for other people. You're just like him. And I always talk about when Jesus died and he paid the sacrifice, he made us like him. We are like him. We're sanctified. We're righteous. I don't like it when people say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Woe is me. I'm sorry. No, you're not. He thought you were worthy enough. Nobody dies for somebody unless they've placed value on you. Right? You're not going to die for just some mojo, right? But God placed value on you. You are worth it. You've always been worth it. Don't ever let anybody. Satan tries to accuse you and tell you you're not. That's wrong. God decided from the beginning of time that you were worth it. That was off my notes, but I had to do that. Okay. So I like that about that. It also says that we're being built up into a spiritual house. Okay, so you're a living stone. You have a purpose for stones. When you build a brick house, you lay them one on top of the other, right? To build the house. So you're not supposed to be a living stone all by yourself somewhere because you're not making anything, right? So God calls us together into the body of Christ. That's why we're supposed to come to church, because we're building. God's building something with it. He needs all of us to be a part of it. We're living stones. He's fitting us together. We need every one of you. We need your portion. That's what God's doing from the beginning, making us a spiritual house for his glory, not ours. Right? So he sent you here to be a living stone, not, like I said, be off to yourself. And I told you about all portion. This might be short. Ephesians 4:11 through 16. I'm going to read a lot of scripture, you guys. Ephesians 4 through 11. So we know that we're all living stones, and we know that God has brought us here, right? Well, God is also giving us all different spiritual gifts. We're all different. We're not all called to the same thing. Okay? We're going to go over these spiritual gifts right now, but I'm going to talk about a little bit. Some of them are help. Some of them, you know, like the worship team. If you're part of the worship team, you probably listen to more worship music than a lot of us do. But that's your gifting and calling that God's called you to. There are some people who are called to help out with children. They're probably looking at stories and stuff. What will teach and reach the children more than somebody else would, right? And we can't all be the pastor. There's only one pastor in this church that God has put in this place to lead and guide and cast the vision that God has for it, right? Yes. But we're all part of it. There are pastors who sit in the church. Do you know that? You know, how do we know they pastor? Because they're checking on people. They're coming alongside people saying, how are you doing today? I thought about you. I want to pray for you today. And they check on people. That's a lay pastor. But we're not all called to be here. Some of us are called to be evangelists. I'm going to get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's read this. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. Here's the thing. We need each other. We're different. And that's okay. God likes variety. All you have to do is look at all the animals. The platypus is a good example. He's totally different. God likes variety. He wants us to be different. He gave us all different giftings and callings. But we're supposed to walk in love, not to think so highly of ourselves as we ought.
Right. Come on.
You know, because sometimes we can get all, I like to say, you look at the world like you know your calling or you know what you're supposed to be doing. So when you look at your world is colored through that. Does that make sense?
Right.
You see the world through that. But don't judge your brother and sister on that because they're not called to the same thing you are.
Come on, that's right.
Right? You're supposed to love your brother and sister in Christ, and we're all different. We all come from different walks of life. This is where I had that dream. So I saw something, and I'm like, that's just me. And then I was talking to David about my parents. I go, man, I love my parents. I admire my parents. They're evangelists. Everywhere they go,
come on,
they witness. Doesn't matter where they're going, they witness to somebody. They speak about Christ everywhere they go, every single place they go. So they just went to Kansas, and they said, we witnessed to this guy, our seatmate, the whole way through. He took a selfie with us. He wanted to know what the devotional mom got because he's going to order it. I'm like, wow, praise God. My parents, everywhere they go, they just witness about Christ. I go, Lord, I wish I was more like my parents. And so I left it like that, and I'm going along, and so I had this dream. And in this dream, my mom and dad invited all of us to this house. So we're at this house, and I'm swinging on the rafters. Yes, it's true. I'm swinging around. And dad's all, okay, why don't you go borrow my car and go somewhere? So I get in his car. I don't know if you know anything about dreams, but when you're in a car, you're driving a car, it's your ministry. So I get in this car, and this car had so many problems. It had holes in it. People were telling me, you need to get off the road. You know how people try to get your attention? The police car pulled me over. Police called me up, pulled it, said, you can't drive this car. You need to get out. I'm like, I get it. That's my parents' calling. They're called to be evangelists. If I try to do it, if I try to be what they are, it's a lot of hard work, and it might not work right. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not called to be a witness. We are all called to be witnesses of Christ. God gives us divine appointments to talk to him. But that doesn't mean don't feel bad if you're not like my parents and every opportunity you're just out there, it just comes out of your mouth. Because that's their gifting and calling. That's what God called them to. So in the same token, they're not going to look because it colors their world, right? But you can't expect that to be that of other people, right? Because that's not what they're called to.
Right.
All of us are called to something different. And we have many gifts here in the church. We got a new one, intercessory prayer with Mariel. She's an intercessor. She spends hours praying.
Yes.
But we're not all called to intercessor prayer. Because we're all called to different things. And God did it on purpose because we're the body of Christ.
Right.
We're not a body part. We're not the nose. We're not the eyes. We're not the ears. Some of us might be all those things, our hands, different ones. But the church is not called to be one thing. We're called to be many things. Why? Because we're a body. And we're supposed to operate like that. We need the hands. We need the intercessor. We need the worshiper. We need the hospitality person. We need all of you. And we're all different. But you can't judge all the different people through the color, through the lens of your ministry. Because we're not all called to what you're called to. We're not all supposed to be what you are. Otherwise, we'd all be a nose, or we'd all be an eye, or we'd all be a mouth. Yeah. We'd be Mike Wazowski, one big giant eyeball. Oh my gosh, that's right. That is not what we're called to. We are all called to be something different. Because God likes variety.
Yes.
He likes all of you. He likes you to be different. What if we were all the same? That would be pretty boring, right? But we have to look at each other through love, too, because of these different callings. Because like I said, sometimes when we're called to something, we look, well, I wish they'd be more like me and do things this way. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry, God didn't make them that way.
That's right.
We're all different.
That's right.
But we're living stones fit together, right?
Yeah.
We're like Christ. So what do you judge people on? You judge them on, are they like Christ? You judge them on the fruit that they bear, right? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:4-31. A lot of scripture, I told you. But it brings my point across. It brings what I know God wants us to know. Is that even though we're all different, even though he put us here, we are all different. We are all called to different things. And even though I would like to be that evangelist, I'm not. But, again, that doesn't mean I don't have an opportunity to witness when God brings it upon me, right? Because that's what we're called to be, witnesses. 1 Corinthians 12:4-31. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so all is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body, and I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, these members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there would be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have giftings of healing? Gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Right. Which is love. And I love that here he goes talking about how we're not all the same. We've all been called to different. There's administration. There's people here like Verna who has the gift of administration. We're not all called to the gift of administration. In fact, I don't care to do the gift of administration. That's okay. That's not my calling. It's not my thing. That's all right. But again, we don't judge others by what our calling or our gifting, because we're not all the same. But God wants us to come together. We have the same spirit. We have the same great I am living inside of us. It says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. David brought up that it means splattered. So it's everywhere inside there. I love to look at it too is that, I'll get to it. I can't jump ahead of myself. I want to. Okay, I'll jump ahead of myself. We'll get there again. I like to look at it as that you need to honor the people in front of you too. Even if you don't get along with them, even if they're not quite what you want. I have to tell you something. That person sitting next to you has the Spirit of God living inside of them. And if you can't honor anything else, you honor that.
That's right.
That Spirit of the living God resides in them. The Lord showed me that. It was my, like I said, God teaches me in pictures, and or he'll impress something on me. And to me, a picture is worth 1,000 words. It just says the whole thing that a paragraph or a whole essay would say. And I walked into church, and all of a sudden, all the people in the church, I felt this honor, incredible honor, to be standing amongst God's people. Why? Every single one of them. Because every one of them is valuable, and every one of them has the Spirit of God living in them.
Yes.
And like I said, those people, we need to allow the love of God to come out of our heart and to love them.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Because they have the living God. If you can't think of anything else, think of this. That person in this pew or sitting next to you has the living God living inside of them. The great I am.
Come on.
Who came and died for you.
Yes.
Right? Yes, we all have gifting. We need every one of you. We need your portion because we're all different. You can see he gave us all different things. We need all that calling because you know what? If you just look at it one way, you're going to miss the other stuff. So we need all those different colors and hues. And what do you see in that? Oh, praise God. Maybe we can reach out this way, right? You need that. That's why you need the body. You don't want to be just an eye or a hand. And that's why I think some churches miss it. And you'll see that some churches will be just a hand or some churches will be just a mouth because they concentrate on that one thing. That's not what we're called to.
Right.
We're called to be the body with a whole bunch of different parts.
Yeah. Yep.
And all of us are gifted for different things, whatever that may be. And we can teach each other and show each other the love and things that God has done for us. And he'll bring more in. And as he brings more in, we're going to love those gifts. And we're going to celebrate those gifts as we celebrate each other, right?
Yes.
And celebrate the difference. God made us different on purpose. Again, he likes variety. So he likes us being different. That's right. He does. He says, viva la difference. You know, God, I mean, yeah, all you have to do is look at men and women and see that God likes different things because men and women are totally different. Totally different. Right? It's too funny. It's too funny. Okay, we're going to go to Romans 12, 3 through 10, right there. And I told you we'd come back to the honor part. It's there in the here. It's in Romans 3, 12, 12, 3. Sorry, Romans 12, 3 through 10. Remember I preached on Romans. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. And then keep going. It says, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing hope, and, you know, all the wonderful things that we should do. But the whole thing is, yet we're all different. And it's so funny because, like I said, David first asked me, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't have anything there. And then something came up, and this was before we went on vacation. But something came up, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know. And then I got a dream before we went on vacation. Okay, this is what I'm going to preach. This is what needs to be preached. Because not only is he talking to me, he's talking to other people. Mm-hmm. Because you don't, here's the thing, we're all different. And sometimes, and I'm guilty of it, because I've had to learn to empathize and have sympathy. Okay? I was sharing it because, you know who know my testimony, I've gone through some things, right? So when people were having a hard time, I'm like, are you losing a limb? Are you dying? Did you almost lose a child? Really, come on, get over this. And God said, no, that's not right. Because every person is going through something, and you don't get to deny them their pain or say that their pain is any less than yours.
Right.
People are going through stuff and they're suffering. And we have to be there for them and empathize and sympathize and be the gift that God called us to be. If it's prayer, do prayer. If it's the hand of God, you go and help them. Because we need helps too. Helps is important.
Right.
It helps is just as important as the pastor standing up here and preaching. So, you know, we have to be there for people. Be the gift that God called you to be. And don't desire to be something else, because God didn't want something else. He wanted you.
Right.
You know, when we first came here, the Lord said, just be yourself. Be what I've called you to be. And that's it. He just wants you to be yourself and be what God's called you to be. And trust him and be like him. God, you know, God said we are supposed to put him on, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So let's put Christ on. Be what we're called to be, and we'll celebrate who you are, what God has made you to be. And we want to help you grow in your ministry that God has given you, that God's called you to, right? He's called us all to different things, and he wants us to fulfill that. I'm not called to be the worship leader up here. I love to worship. I'm a worshiper. That's my main thing to do. When I'm in trouble, I'm like, oh, got to worship. But God didn't call me to be right there, right? God didn't call me to be pastor. He called Pastor David. We're all called to something. Some people are called to help. Some people are called to administration, intercessory prayer. Now, God taught me about prayer. My mom taught me and other people that if you're going along, it says to pray continually. You know what that means? Basically, as you're going through your day and you think of some, oh, I should pray about that. And you pray about it. Then you go along and you hear something else. Oh, I should pray about that. That's what praying continually is not getting in a closet and praying until who knows when. It is throughout your day constantly talking to God. Hey, God, I was thinking about this person. God doesn't make you think of a person just so you can go, oh, I sure, warm fuzzies. Oh, that's so wonderful. I love that person. They probably need your prayer right now. That's why you're thinking about them. So say a little prayer. You don't know what to say. Say, Lord, I just pray for that person. You bless them today, that they would know you in a way. I pray for protection for them. You lead them, guide them. If God doesn't leave it alone, you keep praying for whatever it is that's there. If that's it, you move on. And that's what praying continually is. Or if you need help with something, and you think of your kid, Lord, protect my kid today. Lord, help this. You know, praying continually just means as your day something pops up, pray for it, and then continue on. And it doesn't have to be this long, drawn-out prayer. We learned that prayer could be as easy as job, 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 job. That's it. But we love you guys, and God loves you, and we're all very different. And that's okay, because we're the body of Christ. We're not the nose of Christ. We're not the ear of Christ. We're not the hand of Christ, the eyeball of Christ. He said we're the body of Christ. So we're all different. And we all have different gifts. So we're all going to view things differently, and that's okay. As long as you remember to honor each other, love each other, and see each other through God's eyes. Not what God's called you to be, not your gifting, because then you're judging people wrongly.
Right.
You can judge people by their fruit, what's coming out of their life. Right? So I was like, okay, Lord, I don't know if I should speak about this. This kind of almost sounds like a little admonishing or anything, but I saw he gave me different things. And I go, no, this is what you want me to speak about. This is not just me. You want me to talk about that we are completely different, and we need to honor each other because you have the living God living inside of you. The great I am resides in each one of you except in Christ, and we need to honor that in each other. And love them and celebrate them. We're all different. God has us working different things, different stuff. That's because we're all different. We're called to different parts of the body. We're not all the same. Praise God, right? But when we come together and we let that God, let God unify us, then we can do great things for God. Right? That's why he's called us the body of Christ. That's why we're called to come together. That's why he said, come and gather together. Iron sharpens iron. We grow together. We become what we're supposed to be together. And we affect the world around us together, being the body of Christ. Right?